and a hush comes over the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce our speaker. Direct from Long Beach, California. In his fabulous Mr. Pinstripe suit.
Nice.
David.
Wow. Grateful to be here. What an honor and a privilege. I'd like to thank Steve. It's always an honor and privilege to get to speak in Al-Anon, and sometimes it's a hell of an inconvenience. And I'd like to welcome the newcomers, the most important people in these rooms, the newcomer. We're humbled that you're here. If someone's drinking or sobriety bothers you, you're in the right place. Also like to say if somebody's breathing bothers you, you're in the right place. Seems like some of you relate to that. My home group is the Sunday noon. Oh, nobody's corrected me yet. My name's David. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. My home group is the Sunday nude Al-Anon meeting in Long Beach, California.
Noon.
It's a great meeting. It's a great meeting. At that meeting, it was my magical sixth meeting I went to. If you're new tonight, what was suggested to me when I was new is to try to see if Al-Anon was for me, to go to six different meetings. That was my sixth meeting. At that sixth meeting, I threw a chair across the room. Little angry when I walked in Al-Anon. Little angry, little rough around the edges. However, it was not my first Al-Anon meeting. My first Al-Anon meeting was at the ripe old age of 13 years old. My dad actually drove me to my first Al-Anon meeting drunk. I used to really martyr that. I know that's a shock that somebody in Al-Anon would actually martyr anything, but I'm a good martyr. I love it. I love pouting, too. Is there any pouters in the room? I love pouting. All right, pouting. Good. I love pouting. It makes me deep and mysterious and complicated. I love it. If I can throw in a good pout and a Smiths record, it's amazing for me. You know? So what happened was... I grew up in this really crazy family. I'm Sicilian and Irish, which I think that just kind of qualifies me for Al-Anon right there, doesn't it? And my mom, I'm really grateful to her benefit and to her. I'm just really grateful. She has stood up in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and called herself an alcoholic, so I have permission to call her that today. My oldest sister has stood up in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous and called herself an alcoholic. She has 21 years of sobriety. I'm really grateful that she, I'm really grateful she's sober, because she was a falling down, jailing type of drunk, and I'm really grateful she's sober today. My father, he had 3 years of sobriety, and I'll talk more about him in a minute. And he has called himself an alcoholic. And it's so funny, when I came into Al-Anon, anybody who drank was an alcoholic, and I hated alcohol when I walked in Al-Anon. I don't know if there's any alcohol haters in here. I just hated alcohol when I walked in here. I was involved in a type of punk rock when I came in Al-Anon called Straight Edge. And, you know, I was, which basically is just like prerequisite for Al-Anon right there. And I just hated alcohol. And what happened was I went to my first Al-Anon meeting. Like I said, my dad drove me drunk to that meeting because what had happened in my family, and I'm really grateful this happened in my family, what happened was is that in January of 1988, my sister got sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. She hit her bottom, and talk about a miracle. She hit her bottom, and she ended up going to a great Alcoholics Anonymous meeting on Wednesday night. It's called the Gucci meeting. That's what people call it. And it's in Laguna Beach, California, and it's the Gucci meeting, and it's... You know what? You know what was like, what happened, what we wear now, and not that I judge. I'm far too spiritual for that. But anyway, what happened was is she got sober and she started showering. She started gaining weight and stopped doing that non-habit forming cocaine. And what happened was is she ended up in Alcoholics Anonymous. And what happened was my mom saw my sister's example and just was bowled over by the fact that my sister was showering. and not being arrested anymore, and not calling her from jail and saying, you know, once again, Mom, I got another DUI. And so what happened was 90 days later, my mom saw my sister's example and joined Alcoholics Anonymous. She joined the Death Squad Nazi group of Alcoholics Anonymous. She joined the Bellflower Big Book group in Bellflower, California, which is an offshoot of the Pacific group in West LA. And what happened was is she got a sponsor right away of just this really involved woman in Alcoholics Anonymous who had a daughter who was the chairperson of SCAC, ironically, and said, your son's really sick. Wow, he's really, really sick. And I went to my first Alateen meeting because my mom told me to. That's why I went. Now, I hated my mom with all my heart when I walked in, you know, when I walked in Alateen, but I also wanted her approval, which will give your life a lot of torque, by the way. If, and what happened was, is I went to this Alateen meeting, and this Alateen meeting was awesome. It was a great Alateen meeting. It had two sponsors, it had 35 kids. It was a very involved group in Alateen. Didn't get a thing out of Alateen, though. Didn't get a thing out of it, because what I was looking for in Alateen was her. Ooh. When I think of her still, I still kind of get shivery. My first her, she had a small crystal meth problem, but she hadn't loved David Knox yet. And... you know, we were just going to go ahead and bull right through that problem. You know, I mean, hell, I'm David Knox, so, you know. Anyway, so what happened was, is that, you know, we had a suicide pact. You call those relationships. And what happened was, I think how deep the relationship was is she liked the Cure and I liked the Cure. I think that's what the relationship meant. And what happened was, is she left Alateen. She left Alateen. So what happened was I left Alateen because, you know, I'm a man of, I have a bad back. I don't know if anybody has a bad back in this room. I have a big yellow streak that runs right down it. And since she left Alateen, I thought I'd leave Alateen too to show her, you know, because I wanted to be closer. Welcome to Al-Anon if you relate to that, by the way. And what happened was I got really sick. I got really, really sick, and you know, because of untreated alcoholism. And my mom and my dad my mom and my sister are sober. My dad's still drinking. I'm trying to do the best I can in school. What happens at about 13 or 14 years old is I find, like I mentioned earlier, I find punk rock, which is a great soundtrack for my disease. It is not part of my disease. It's just a soundtrack. And it became like kind of like a lifestyle. And what happened was is I just started, you know, I started being like the kids with the green hair, and I started spiking my hair up, and I started, you know, having a mohawk. That's a hairstyle, not an Indian. I just was going crazy. I was really, really angry and really, really depressed. And my mom said, there's something wrong with the boy. You know, he won't go to Alateen. Maybe we should put him in therapy. And I love therapy. Therapy is my favorite thing. It's a great tool. I do not bash therapy. I'm not a therapy basher. But part of my problem is as somebody who grew up in alcoholism, is I cannot be honest with a therapist. You know, of my own devices, I can't be honest with them. And what happened was is that because, you know, like I want him to like me. You know, I don't really want to tell him what's really going on with me, is that I'm sleeping 13 hours a day and I'm ditching school. You know, I don't want to also tell, you know, the therapist that what's happening at home is my mom's dropping me off at high school and I'm too afraid to walk in. So what happens is I turn around and I walk home. You know, and my mom and my sister are both sober at this time, and they're really just like watching me, just going, God, just drink, man. Just drink. Just drink. Just go get it on, you know, and then I resent them for, you know, even bringing that up. And then what happens is I tried to commit suicide at 14 years old. I end up in a hospital. And what happens is my dad shows up at the hospital with my mom, and the therapist asked my dad, is there any way that you're going to stop drinking? And my dad, with tears in his eyes, just shook his head. Now, if you're anything like me as an Al-Anon, you'll hear that story and you'll want to resent my dad. But it's alcoholism in a nutshell. It's alcoholism. And what happened was is I just looked at the therapist and said, why'd you even ask him? You know, and I was pathetically cold and I had a cold heart at this time. And I thought those were character assets when I walked into Al-Anon. And what happened was I just, at that time, I just turned my back on God. I turned my back on anything. You know, if you love me, it just felt horrible. I was like, you know, I don't rather not you love me, but if you hate me, I feel real comfortable. And what I've learned in through the inventory process in this program is that what that was about was control. If I can't get you to, if you love me, you might leave. But if you hate me, then somehow we're bound to one another. And what happened was is I just tried to have people start to hate me. And what happened was my life got really, really, really unmanageable behind our disease of being right. And what ended up happening was I was right and I was by myself consequently a lot of the time. I want to welcome you, especially if you have time in Al-Anon and you're right and you're by yourself. Because it's a really scary place to be in, especially with time in Al-Anon, and I'll talk about that later, being right and being alone. It's a really scary place to be in. What happened was life got bad. You're like, how bad can it get? Jesus, it's already bad enough. And what happened was I was like on my way out of that hospital. And I don't know if anybody in Al-Anon relates to this, but I'm a con man. I love to con things. And what happened was anytime the therapist asked me how I was doing, I was like, I'm great. You know, I'm not really affected by this. Things are good. And what happened was my life got more and more unmanageable because I started having more and more secrets. And what happened was long story short, I ended up becoming a drug dealer, which was completely against everything that I was raised against. You know, like my family did drugs and drank, but they were like, drugs are bad, even though we'll do them, but they're bad to sell. Those are bad people. And I started doing that. I started becoming a bookie at 16 years old. And basically kind of the type of mind that the mafia gives scholarships to. And however, though, on the Sicilian side of my family, there's no such thing as mafia. It's prejudice against Italians. And so what happened was is that my life got more and more unmanageable. It got more and more unmanageable because what happened, and I don't know where this happened, but I believe that I had to be cunning, baffling, and powerful just to get through a day. You know, I didn't know where that happened. I don't know where that I believe that I just had to be cunning, baffling, and powerful to get through my life. And what happened was is my mom and my sister are sober and Alcoholics Anonymous and making amends to me, and it's not good enough. It's not good enough. And what happens is I come home one day. I'm 16 years old. And my dad, took everything he owned and he left the house. And at one part of me, I was like, you know, I'm glad you're gone, Pop. You know, and the other part of me was like, what did I do? What did I do? And what happened was I, like I said before, I tried to do life as best I could. And I fail miserably at it. You know, it's so funny. People always say to you when you're younger in Al-Anon, if you get here young, I saw some people who are young here tonight. I'm really glad you're here. When I got here at a young age, people were always like, you're so, so happy to see you get the program so young. I just felt like I didn't have any game. You know, I just was like, really? I just didn't have enough like scruples to last out there. I was done, you know, when I got here. And what happened was at 19 years old, I went to an Al-Anon meeting. I don't know why I went to an Al-Anon meeting. I went to an Al-Anon meeting, I think, basically to please my sister. My oldest sister said, you know, there's something wrong with you. We don't know what it is, but could you come with us to an Al-Anon meeting? And I was just like, an Al-Anon meeting on purpose? Why? You know, and I went to an Al-Anon meeting, and this Al-Anon meeting was probably the sickest Al-Anon meeting ever. I actually think WSO shut it down. And this guy used to go to this meeting, and I haven't seen this guy, and I hope to see him in Al-Anon someday because he needs to be here. His name was Eddie, and he would pick up hookers on Harbor Boulevard and cook spaghetti for them and tell them that they didn't have to live this way. And I'm 19 years old, and I'm like, are you getting anything out of the deal? I mean, how good is the pasta, you know? And he's like, nope, just want to help him. I was like, wow, dude. Good luck. And then told my sister after the meeting, you know, love the meeting. So glad it's there for those people. That's awesome. That's awesome. And what happens is I go again next week, and I'm like, ugh, not again. There's Eddie again. Hey, Eddie, how you doing? Like, I care, but whatever. And what happens is that 3 weeks later, my dad calls my sister. I haven't spoken to my dad in 5 years at this time. And what happens is my dad enters a treatment center. My dad enters a treatment center in Costa Mesa, great treatment center called Charlie Street. Charlie Street is a place where homeless alcoholics go. And this was a guy who was making 80 grand a year before he went out, you know, before he went on his journey and ended up in Mexico, drank for 2 years in Mexico, drank for a couple years in Vegas, and lost everything and was homeless when he came to Alcoholics Anonymous. And ended up going to Alcoholics Anonymous through Charlie Street and kind of rejected AA, but stayed sober. And what Al-Anon has taught me and continues to teach me is to love you whether or not you go, whether or not you behave or not. And how interesting, you know. And what happened was is my life got really unmanageable, more unmanageable. I got so angry and so resentful. And I believed that if I was resentful and angry enough that I'd be restored to sanity. And what happened was is my life got unmanageable. And I was taking, you know, taking poison and expecting other people to die. You know, and that's something that we say about resentment in this program is that, you know, I was taking poison and expecting other people to die, and or don't move or I'll shoot the hostage is what my sponsor says. And I'm really grateful he says that, because that's what basically happened in my life. And then what happened was is, anyway, I found a girlfriend. I know it's, whoa, really? You know, I called her my Wonderwall. Because she was going to be the one that was going to save me from my anger and from, you know, just being affected by alcoholism, you know. And, you know, I had written a script that she was going to marry me and I was going to be restored to sanity because she was going to marry me. And we would live happily ever after, or at least I would kiss her butt and be happy. And then what happened was is she left. You know, she left. She said, David, I love you, but this hurts too much. You know, and that's what actually, it's funny, in Al-Anon, in Alcoholics Anonymous, sometimes they'll call people who are not alcoholic normies. And as an Al-Anon, this isn't normal. My behavior is not normal, you know. And it's, what's funny is a normal person says, you know what, this hurts, I'm leaving. You know, but an Al-Anon really hangs in there, you know, because, you know, capture and kill, you know, is basically the deal. And what happens is this woman leaves me, you know, and you know, by all means, she should have. You know, I was angry. I was getting into fights when I didn't want to get in fights anymore with people I didn't want to get in fights with. I had been in jail 2 times in that relationship, and was fighting all the time and really, really angry and really, really sick. And what happened was is I hit a bottom. And what the bottom I hit was my father had a stroke. And I've said this several times in meetings before, that when I walked into my first Al-Anon meeting, hopefully for the last time, I had 3 character defects. And those 3 character defects were my mom, dad, and sister. And as soon as they were out of my life, I'd be happy. And what happened was my dad was dying. And anybody who's done step 6 and 7 knows that if you ask God to remove those character defects, and as they're being removed, it's really painful. And my experience was is that when my character defect was being removed, I was in a ton of pain. And what happened was I went ironically to the meeting that the Al-Anon meeting that had the Alateen meeting at. It was the Monday night Cerritos meeting, 7:30. It's a great Al-Anon meeting. I highly recommend that meeting. I know it's far, but it's a great Al-Anon meeting. And at that Al-Anon meeting, those women in that meeting, they loved me. Those men in that meeting, they loved me. What also happened in that meeting was I saw somebody that I went to Alateen with. She had transitioned and she was in Al-Anon now. She also went to high school with me for 2 weeks. This high school I went to, I got kicked out of. You know, and it's funny, they were on my resentment list. Anyway, go figure. You know, and what's funny is this woman saw me walk in the door and she just went, duh. you know, and she's just a really great part of my recovery and a really great part of my life. And what happened was, is when I went to that Al-Anon meeting, I gave the formal terms of surrender in that meeting. And I think the formal terms of surrender in that meeting is you get a sponsor. You know, it's funny. The steps are actually written in a way that are actually in plural. They're actually not written in singular form, which is really interesting. The first step says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. What's interesting about that step, it doesn't say I admitted. It says we. And what my experience is that one person cannot admit we. You know, and what happens is I get a Nazi dictatorial sponsor. I get a mean sponsor. I get a sponsor who's just like, make your bed every day and call me in the morning. Because, you know, when I walk in Al-Anon, I feel so sick, that's what I believe I need. And what happens is I get this sponsor, and this sponsor just, and I'm really grateful for this sponsor. This sponsor told me, you know what, David, if you're not 30 minutes early to a meeting, you're not on time. He also said to me, David, you need a lot of meetings. You need a lot of meetings. He's all, as a matter of fact, are you working right now? And I was like, no. You know, a bit of a problem with authority, so I wasn't working. And, it's funny, you know, when I walked into Al-Anon, I thought, you know, that how cute that was. You know, I'm an anarchist. Isn't that cute? Bit of a problem with authority. Here to report to you tonight that that's a character defect. You know, and what happened was is I had all these anarchy symbols when I walked in Al-Anon on me, and what basically what that was what was going on inside me. It's just pure anarchy. And you people loved me so much when I walked in Al-Anon that you weren't willing. You just kind of went, oh, that's cute. Welcome. Sit down and grab a chair. You know, you knew that my anger wasn't about you. You knew that. You knew that my anger was about me. It wasn't about you. And what happened was is, you know, I got this, like I said, I got this death squad sponsor, man. He just, oh my God, like, he was so awful. You know, he like told me to call him every day and like make my bed. I was like, why should I make my bed every day? You know, and I was still living at home with my mom. I was 22 years old when I came to Al-Anon. And that was on October 13th, 1997. What happened was is, I came to that Al-Anon meeting because I was out of plans. And if you're new tonight, or if you're not so new, I hope you're out of plans. I hope you are. I hope you're out of plans so much, because what happened was I was out of plans and I went to this meeting, and at this meeting they said, you know, you should probably get a commitment because, you know, you'll keep coming back. You know, I was like, I've been around AA to know enough where, what they're trying to do to you. And what happens is I get a greeter commitment. Yeah, exactly. You know, the big punker at the door, like, hey, how you doing? Come on in, sit down, you know? You know, and what happens is, you know, the people in that meeting just kind of go, yeah, David, keep coming back, man, you know? And it's funny, like I said, I've been around AA enough to know that keep coming back just basically means you're crazy. And so if someone says to you, keep coming back, that's what it means. So anyway, what happens is I get a commitment. I get that greater commitment. Ooh, and I also get, just to show you how cool my life was at this time, 22 years old, I get a Saturday night literature study commitment. 8 o'clock, 7th and Atlantic in Long Beach. Great meeting. The How Al-Anon Works study book, which is a great book. I love that book. Meeting I go to on Wednesday night, we study it there too, and it's just awesome. And it's just a great book. And in that book, it tells my story over and over and over again in that book. And what happens is I don't know how it happens. I don't know how you people did this to me, but I fell in love with Al-Anon. I absolutely fell in love. And what happened was is I just started feeling better. I just started feeling better, you know, and you people just loved me so much when I came here. And what happened was is I just kept coming. You know, I took my butt to meetings and my mind followed. And what happened was is the sponsor said, you know, we're going to go through the steps, you know, and when we go through the steps, you're probably not going to like a lot of what I'm going to say to you, but I'd rather you have a resentment than be dead. You know, and what happened was is, he got me in the steps right away, you know, and he asked me about my first step, you know, and I'm really grateful he asked me this in my first step. He said, I want you to look up the word unmanageable. You know, because he says, if you're anything like me, he used to always preface, like when he was about to slam me, you know, he was always, if you're anything like me, you probably think you know what unmanageability means, but you're not willing to ask anybody because you don't want to look stupid. And I want you to, and he says, and I also want you to get a commitment out of me at actually, you know what? He's all, you're sick. You don't work. I want you to get commitments at 4 meetings. You know, 4 meetings I want you to get commitments at. And I was like, God, no wonder she drank. Jesus, you know? You know, and Jesus, you know, and then he's like, what did you say? And I said, nothing. You know, and then what happened was is I started getting commitments at meetings. I started this Monday Night Serious meeting is just an awesome meeting, and these two men who were at the meeting, I'm so happy. One of the men, talk about a neat thing. His father drank with my father for 30 years. And he saw me walking to Alamo, he was just like, oh shit, awesome, you know, like just started salivating, you know, like, oh, thank God he's here. And then what happened was is he said, you know, we go to a men's stag meeting on Thursday night in Garden Grove. Would you be willing to come with me? I'm all, men's stag group? On purpose? You mean like no women at all? You know, I've been to a men's stag group. It's called L.A. County Jail. I didn't really like the sharing in there either. And, but this is not a sex and intimacy meeting. Anyway, so what happened was I went, you know, I went to this meeting and this guy's totally suckered me into something. It was so great. I'm so grateful he did this to me. If you ever want to get a newcomer, this is what you do. He says, the coffee cleanup guy didn't show up tonight. So, would you help me? Would you help me clean up the coffee pots? And what happened at that night was my need to be accepted outweighed my need to be hated that night. And what happened was I started cleaning out the coffee pots with this guy and I started talking to him. He was a biker. He was like tough. It was rad. So rad. He was like, you know, like all red and white. Like, hey man, how you doing? And I was like, oh, he looks like he's on the yard. Jesus. So what happened was is this guy was like, you know, come and clean the coffee pots. We'll talk. And we just started talking. I just started telling him, you know, like why I'm in Al-Anon. And, you know, we just started talking. And, you know, this guy's just an awesome guy, Eric. For some of you guys that may know him, Biker Eric, you know, who goes to the Thursday Night Good to Grow Men's Stag. Just was a good, he just 12-stepped me so rad, you know. He just was like, he just fed this program to me piecemeal, you know, by piecemeal. And then I had this, like, you know, other sponsor, this mean sponsor on the other side. And what happened was is this sponsor started, like, you know, giving me these directions, like, to pray, you know. And I was an atheist when I walked into Al-Anon, but what's funny is I would claim that I was an atheist when I walked into Al-Anon, but I didn't want God to know that I felt that way. And, you know, and, you know, and I had a lot of, you know, I had a lot of resentments towards organized religion when I walked in. As a matter of fact, at a meeting in Brea one night, I was asked to, they were sharing about God, and I said, it was really horrible. I was sharing about, you know, they were sharing about God, and I said, God is synthetic frippery. And a couple of the people just went, what the hell are you talking about? Jesus, shut up, man. Jesus, you know, and, you know, at least that's what they said in their eyes. I don't know if there's any mind readers in this room, but I'm a mind reader, and I love reading minds, and I love it, and I can tell by your body language that you're like, he's awful, that guy. And so anyway, what happened was is I just fell in love with Al-Anon. I started getting really active in Al-Anon. What's funny is when I came in Al-Anon, I felt a part of. You know, I felt a part of, and then what happened was is that you guys said, get a commitment, you'll really, really feel a part of. You'll really feel a part of if you get a commitment instead of feeling apart from. You know, and what happened was I started getting a lot of commitments, started going to conventions, and at conventions, started listening to speakers. You know, and it's just awesome. It's just an awesome, awesome thing. And what happened was is this guy, Paul, who was my sponsor, at 18 months, you know, he wanted me to read my inventory to him. And it was 112 pages of resentments. because what he said was, I want you to write down personalities, principles, and institutions that you're resentful towards. And I was like, I'm resentful at Save-On. You know, I mean, I was just resentful at everything when I walked. You know, as a matter of fact, he said to me, why don't you write down a list of everything that you like, because the list would be shorter. And what happened was things were going really good in my life. My dad did pass away at this time. And what happened was is things were going really well in my life. And what happened was if you have time, I want to welcome you, especially if you have time and you're in this place. What happened was is I became an important person in an anonymous program. What happened was is without being restored to sanity yet, the thing that I love this speaker who says this because I so relate to it, what happened, what was being restored was my opinion. You know, before I got restored to sanity, what got restored was my opinion of what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. And one of the things I was not going to do was I was not going to read that inventory to that guy. I was not going to read that inventory to that guy. I felt so ashamed of some of the things that I did that the excuse that I came up a lot of the times when people were like, well, why did you behave that way? I said, well, because I was drunk, but I hadn't been drinking. And I didn't have that excuse. And what happened was is, like I said, I became an important person in an anonymous program, and I started just taking all these service commitments and running away from the steps. And if you have time in this program and you're doing that, I want you to stay. I want you to stay in Al-Anon, but you will not get better. You will not get better. What'll happen is you'll have a head full of Al-Anon and no higher power. And what happens is I got really, really sick in the rooms of Al-Anon. And what happened was I started sponsor hopping. Any sponsor hoppers in here? I'm a total sponsor hopper. And what happened was that I'm just taking what I need and leaving the rest, you know. And you know, through these rationalizations and justifications, and I start giving away these principles one at a time. You know, like, I don't need to go to that meeting. You know, they're all self-righteous there anyway. You know, and what happens is your part becomes more important than my part. And I'm in Al-Anon, and what happens is I get another sponsor because, you know, Paul's not doing it right. And and then I get this sponsor who's really soft on me and really kind. And, and you know, I want to welcome, if you have a sponsor like that, I'm so grateful. But I know me, I'm manipulative as all hell. And if I have a sponsor like that, I will just say, I'm doing great. How are you? And what I'm basically saying is I'm lying. And what happens is... my life gets more and more unmanageable in Al-Anon, and I hit a bottom again at 4 years. What happened was I did something that I swore I would never do. I dated a newcomer. We obviously have some identification in the room this evening. And what happened was this... you know, I found out why they say not to date the newcomer. And they actually don't say that for the newcomer. They actually say that for the person with time. And what happens is I get this sponsor, and some of you know David. And I had this, before that, though, I had this really mean sponsor again, because I thought that if I had a mean sponsor, he wouldn't take any of my guff. You know, this guy wouldn't take any of my guff, and I'd be... you know, somehow he would restore me to sanity and his direction would help me. And what happened was, is where's the powerlessness in that? And what happens is that it doesn't work. And I get David to be my sponsor. And the reason why I get David to be my sponsor is because David rides a motorcycle, and he's good with his kids, or his son, excuse me. And he's an Alateen sponsor is why I get him to be my, that's actually why I get him to be my sponsor. And what happens is I'm totally afraid to ask him to sponsor me. It's like asking a guy to be your Valentine, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If you want to do that, I absolutely have no opinion on that. It's fabulous, quite frankly, if you want to ask a man to be your Valentine. It's fabulous. But anyway, sorry, my Long Beach accent's coming out. I'm sorry. So what happened was is I asked David to be my sponsor, and David said it would be an honor. It would be an honor. And it was about 3 weeks before my fourth birthday. And he says, we're going on a men's retreat. He said retreat, by the way. He didn't say, and I was like, all right. He wasn't in a meeting, though, when he said it. And went, so it was okay. So what happened was, he says, we're going. And I said, well, I don't have any money. And he said, I didn't ask if you had any money. You're going on this men's retreat. If you want me to sponsor you, you're going. And I went to this men's retreat. And at this men's retreat, he gave me my four-year coin. And I broke down and cried. And he said, what's wrong? I told him the truth. What was going on is, I'm an important person in the anonymous program. And I got almost 4 years in this program. And I'm dying. And I'm dying, you know. And I know it all, you know, and you all suck. And and if you just listen to, Dave Anon instead of Al Anon, things would be good. And he said, why don't we take a look at those steps again? And he said, I want you to write your first step out. And this is how David explained for me to do the first step is he says, how have you tried to control everything and how has it fucked up your life? And I went, and he said the F word too. I was like, oh, dear God, you know. And then, oh, why? And then what happened was is he said, and that includes the way people think politically. Oh. What an order. Because I don't know if anybody else relates to this in the room. I lost friendships over the way people thought. You know, if you didn't agree with me, I just never spoke to you again. You know, and what happened was is in alcoholism, I thought that obedience meant love. And if you weren't obedient to my will, then I just couldn't love you. And what happened was is this sponsor started walking me through the steps, you know, and he started loving me. And he just said, and I'm so grateful he said this to me. He says, David, this is your pain. I'm doing really well. But if you want what we have, you're going to do what we do. And what happened was is he started me walking on this journey, you know, and I'm really grateful he started walking me with me on this journey. And I'm really started really, really grateful that I started getting honest in the rooms of Al-Anon. Because what happened was is it's really weird. In Al-Anon, I was right and alone. You know, and if you're, you know, if you have some time in here tonight and you're right and you're alone, you might want to take a look at the 10th step again. You know, if you're right and you're alone and nobody wants to be around you, you know, I really want to welcome you to Al-Anon. There were some newcomers here tonight. I'm really glad you're here. I'm really honored that you're here, and I'm humbled that you're here. It was told to me that when I was new, if somebody's drinking or sobriety bothers you, you're in the right place. Please don't use my presentation tonight as a as like judgment on Al-Anon. There are plenty of other meetings in the area. If you have something to say about the way I spoke tonight, please talk to Steve. He'd love to hear it. And and with that, I'm going to close. Thank you for letting me speak.